guest of this Sports as a Job podcast episode represents everything I'm trying to show through the different stories of people in the sports industry. There is no set path to where you want to go, and the guest of this episode has definitely taken her own path. Our guest is a small town girl in a sports world, creating electric vibes through different forms of storytelling. You will also notice she is an advocate of mental health. She dropped out of college to pursue freelance work. This has led her to doing work for the Premier Lacrosse League, the Women Professional Lacrosse League, and Salisbury University. Enough for me, let's get right to the episode.
Hello, everyone. Hi, my name is Alexis Kuzo, and I like to call myself an innovative content creator, ultimately on a mission that I can empower women in sports and young girls so that I could be the role model that I never had growing up. And not only that, advocating for mental health, because that is a huge part in who I am today. But I currently work with lacrosse, which is my love. And also, I work with the Salisbury lacrosse team. I'm a content creator and I work in a lot of other things. So it's very hard to be a label, but I just want to create innovative content to empower this sport and just help young girls and women make this into a career.
So for everybody listening, Alexis, I noticed your form of storytelling that you like personally is photography and film, like video. So I'm interested, when did you know that you wanted to get into photography? Maybe there's an actual memory that you can recall. You're like, yes, like I love taking pictures. I love making film. Like what was the moment for you?
Okay, so I love sharing this. When I was 5, I picked up my first camera. And it has always been a creative outlet for me because it was just something I've been so passionate about. Like technology was evolving and I was born in a unique time where it was like, it was in the in-between phase. Like it was before like iPhones were like really, you know, a thing. And I was during the time that everyone played outside. And because of that, I just loved learning about everything and how technology was evolving, especially with social media, and knew that it was going to be something big. Absolutely. And through that, I was just practicing. I practiced all the time. I did it for like 12 years before even being acknowledged just because I loved it. And I just excelled in school with all my creative projects. And that helped with, you know, not being so strong in like testing, because I was not the test kind of person. So expressing, you know, being able to express all my conflicted emotions through my artwork is what really got me through like my difficult childhood.
And so that for me, so you mentioned it, I think twice already, is that you're trying to be a role model that you didn't have growing up. And then you mentioned a rough childhood. I mean, again, a part of our past and our childhood and everything that we go through make us who we are today. So I'm kind of interested, you know, if you want to share like what exactly you're talking about when it comes to your childhood.
Absolutely. So, you know, I grew up in like, my family life wasn't the greatest, but I used it to empower me because not only that, I wasn't the most popular girl in school either. And I think it's quite ironic now that I was teased for bringing my camera to school with me as well, looking as now I make it into a career. But I just want to share that it's the negative things in your life shouldn't be looked as a negative. There's a way to turn it into a positive. So like, I don't use like my difficult childhood as bad. I use it to empower me for my future, to make me stronger, and use it as a lesson. So like all those lessons learned, I can use to apply to my future, because now it just makes life easy.
So you did photography for years, and you said you would bring it to school. You get teased. I'm curious, what was your, or who was your earliest test subjects, or like, did you take pictures of your dad, or would you go to random parks and take pictures of random people? What would you do?
So actually, I first fell in love with my family home for camcorder. Like, I kid you not, before vlogging was even a thing, I was vlogging. I would just take my camcorder and follow my family around. They wouldn't like it all the time. And then I would set up on a tripod and I would just dance and sing in front of it. And I cannot dance or sing. So it's definitely hysterical. And not only that, then I evolved into my first DSLR camera after my point and shoot and evolved through that. But ultimately I would bring it to school and take pictures of like kids in my class at like school functions, like field day and anything that we had special going on. And this is before the Instagram era. So people would just be like, why are you bringing your camera? Like, why are you taking pictures? And I would just be like, cause I like to, is there a problem? But then post Instagram era, that's when like, oh, send me the pictures. I want to post these.
Mm-hmm. And so for you, when you look at a picture, like when you're taking a picture, what like they say, right? A picture speaks, what is it, 1,000 words or something like that saying. And for me, not, and to be totally honest, like my form of storytelling is through journaling, through poems, through podcasting. For you, what do you see though? Like after you take a picture and something that you say, hey, I'm going to share on my Instagram or share it with the world, what about pictures specifically is the reason why that's your go-to storytelling form of content?
So creatively, my ultimate goal with any picture I share is I want the person who's viewing it, no matter what background you have, to be able to understand it. Like I want to be able to, whoever is seeing it, no matter if you come from a sports background or you come from like a non-sports background, anything, that you can understand what is being portrayed in it, because that's the ultimate goal as a creator, for whoever's viewing it to understand and feel empowered by it. And there's so many stepping stones prior to create that image, but it's ultimately because I have such a creative mindset. I just like, I look at the world with like, oh, that'll be such a good picture. Or like that angle, I got to try that next time.
Do you just carry your camera everywhere you go? Honestly,
yes,
you
do. All I bring with me all the time. And most importantly, it was in high school every day on my shoulder. I'd walk in the front door, have my camera with me.
That's crazy. Like I feel like, so I just got back into writing and that's what I used to like, for me, like when I was growing up and through high school, I always had my journal and a piece of paper. Cause it was like, oh, like that thought in my head before we had like iPhone, like there was iPhone notes and iPod notes, but like as soon as an idea or something would pop in my head, it's like, I have to write it down. Like, it's just that emotion tried to come out. So it's interesting to see that in a different form where you're always carrying your camera. And I have to imagine you evolved over time, right? You evolved from that little kid to how you do it now. Mm-hmm. So how did you evolve? I mean, I imagine you learned like the professional steps of how to take a picture or what to look for exactly. So for example, if you're at a sporting event, what are you looking for exactly when you're trying to capture a picture? What are the steps that you're going through in your head?
So ultimately it's, well, not only that, I like to apply my sports background. So something that I didn't have prior mentioned, I was like a three-sport athlete. I competitively played soccer, basketball, and I ran track. So I apply the mindset that I have with the sports that I played with my work. So that helps with how I'm able to predict a play because I'm just an athlete with a camera. Mm-hmm. And not only that, the way I envision what I'm going to take a picture of is also I try to perceptualize like what is something that I would have loved to have if I was an athlete, like what would be something that, oh, this would be so sick to see on my Instagram or like for someone to like want to share. But ultimately, with at least gameplay like photography, it's being able to predict the play and read, because that helps a lot with what I do. And not only that, I take it a step higher by like one of my things that I always do is I actually run up and down the field. I sprint. I full blown sprint because if I'm around more of the play, then I can get more pictures or create more content. And that's why I was able to get so many of like those unique pictures. Mm-hmm. And also it just being able to apply a lot of my background with wedding photography and portraits to help create that nice portrait look with the athletes pre-game and post-game.
And I did see that when I was looking kind of your IG feed. I actually scrolled all the way back and there was the early pictures where you did take wedding pictures, you took portrait pictures, you took pictures of nature. And now you see kind of, you know, you scroll up and you start saying, oh, it's more sports, more sports. So what was the what was the first sporting event that you ever did photography for, if you remember?
The first sporting event. So I would just like do it as a hobby with like my sister and like take pictures at her game. But the first time that it really was like, wow, like it was like an aha moment. Like I could really make this could be a career was in high school because before I transferred, I didn't have a football team. So there wasn't really that vibe that I could create content with. But when I transferred, there was we had a football team and we had a phenomenal student section. So I just went off and fell in love with it. And then that's when it just took off.
That's crazy because I think that it's so interesting for you because I know a lot of people that have say like they don't know that they can make sports a career until they get to college. And especially for women, they don't understand that they can do that till later on in their years and stuff like that. So for you to catch it early on. Now, you mentioned earlier something about your three sport athlete.
Yes.
You played soccer, basketball, track, but you didn't mention what you're super passionate right about now is lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
So how did the love for lacrosse start?
So my love for lacrosse came when I got to college because I first started working with a football team and it went great. And then the lacrosse team saw it and I was really ecstatic because I've always been intrigued by lacrosse because it encaptures so many of my favorite sports. You know, it's such a unique and like beautiful sport to photograph and film. And I was basically, once they reached out to me, I started creating with them and fell in love. It was like love at first sight. I just remember leaving that day after that first game, just with a big cheese smile. Like, this is my place. Like, oh yes.
It's so poetic in a sense to me when I think about it, because you talked in the beginning of the episode how you're trying to be an advocate for women in sports and an advocate for premier, you know, lacrosse in general.
Absolutely.
And when you look at the two things, right, they're both not in the spotlight like they should be. They both should be lifted higher and you're trying to do that. So for you, what makes you, mentioned again with it encompasses all the sports that you love, but explaining it to a fan who's not a fan of lacrosse, how do you explain to them like, hey, you have to check it out. You have to watch lacrosse because this is why it's amazing.
And I'm so happy you brought that up because that is also why I'm so passionate about advocating for lacrosse, because I have that prior knowledge of what the other sports, like other sport mindsets, would attract people to lacrosse. Because I did not grow up with lacrosse. I'm very new to it. And basically for someone who is looking towards lacrosse, it is so fast paced. It is very similar to hockey in a sense, but also soccer and basketball. And it's just, it's so unique. Like it's very hard to explain without genuinely watching it.
And I've watched a little bit, and then like I live in Minnesota now, and I know a lot of people here, like when I first met them, a lot of them played lacrosse in high school here. And I'm originally from Hawaii. So to be totally honest, I heard of lacrosse, but it was something you saw on TV where they would play in high school, but I never personally saw it like at my high school or anywhere on the island. So when I finally got here, I definitely looked at it and it is fun. It is definitely fun. It hurts when the ball hits you though. When it comes at you really fast, it absolutely sucks.
And the checks too? Oh my, ruthless. Ruthless.
Yeah, so just like hockey, because they do that at hockey too. They check people, you hit with the puck. It's just, I don't know. I mean, it is cool because it is, it encompasses everything. So like I got that feel of soccer, football, hockey. It was just a great workout. So now looking at it, because on your Instagram feed, you have a lot of pictures that you've taken at like the PLL or the women WLL with the women lacrosse lead. So tell me about like your different experiences with them, you know, doing photography for them. What have you done for those organizations?
So I'm beyond grateful for all the opportunities lacrosse has brought to me, and also being able to photograph the PLL and work. It's the WPLL. And anyway, so basically, what ended up happening was the inaugural season was crazy. So I was fortunate enough to be able to attend the first game at Gillette in Boston, and it was amazing. I was just remember so starstruck. I was like, wow, like this is crazy. And through that, one thing led to another. I drove all over the East Coast by myself for the inaugural season. And it just was such a like turning point for not only myself, because I was never acknowledged for any of my work. And now I just finally felt so welcome in this community and being able to also advocate for women, because there was not that many women on the sidelines. So it was just lit that fire that I was like, I'm so ready. Like this just made me so passionate about getting up every day and going to create content for them.
Now, what's in the future for you? Like, what are your goals? Is it working for one organization or being a freelancer? Because a lot of photographers I know, it seems they go the freelance route in the sense that they're constantly going from organization where, you know, the different gigs pop up. Or are you looking for a home to like, you know, settle down and be their photographer for them or content creator in general?
I'm not sure at the current moment, because I have many interests. But my focus is with lacrosse. Absolutely, though. That's my home. Lacrosse is my home. And if I can give my two cents with any organization or, you know, obviously working with the youth, because that is something that I hold near and dear to my heart. That is something with I'm grateful that have had the privilege to work with. And the energy is just fantastic, because they get so excited and it's just a unique experience in like comparison, like with working with pros and with all different levels. So that's definitely what I'm looking for, like as a career path.
And for me, when I look at your journey, like the things that you mentioned and photography, your photography obviously has evolved over time. You've developed a new love in lacrosse. When you look back at it, because I think the biggest lessons that we can share with people are the lessons that we share, that we learn within, that we learn about ourselves. So when you look at your journey so far, from when you were that little kid that first picked up the camera to now, what are the certain things that you learned about yourself that you think you want to, that you should share with others?
Oh, so the most important thing is genuinely find what makes you happy every day. I cannot stress that enough, because my whole life changed. So I thought when I was growing up, I was going to go play D1 soccer and pursue pro and hopefully play for our country. But that all came to an end because of my injury. I had a major concussion. And when that happened, I had to like retract and be like, okay, like what do I genuinely love doing every day that's going to make me want to wake up and be excited for what I do? Because I didn't want to be in a desk job. Like that was just not my vibe. And with that, that's where I was like, okay, so I love working with like cameras and I love working with people. And because of that, it was more of a self-awareness. That's what I like advocate highly. Just being self-aware that what do you like to do and what makes you happy that you can look to pursue as a career? Because if you're passionate about something, you'll find a way to make money from it.
Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the big thing, right? It's like, especially working in sports, like I've had that resistance from the outside a little bit about like, hey, like you're a smart guy. Like, you know,
likewise.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're like, you should go into a different career. Like, why are you going into working in sports? Why are you going into photography? Why do you want to do that thing? When like the one memory I recall is I remember when I had my offer letter for my first full-time job. And I was excited. I was like, my first full time within jobs, whatever. And I have, you know, I shared it with my family because I'm super open with them. And they were like, are you sure this is what you want as your first job? Like, you know, salary wise, because they were like, we honestly think you could do way better. You could probably do 3 times, 4 times right now and get a different job. And it did take me back a little because I was like, like, is it worth it? You know, is it worth it pursuing what you love and the sacrifice of pay? And I sat and thought about it, And I definitely don't regret it. I think that's something to tell people. I think to tell people it is a struggle. Like, you're going to have to find a way to make it work. You're not going to have the money, right? You're going to have to get a cheap apartment, get roommates, or do whatever you have to do. But it's worth it. I think, like you talked about, when it's something you're passionate about, you eventually find a way to make your money. And I think that's going to happen eventually, is make that money, you know, within working in sports and doing that type of thing. For you, you know, who's some of your role models? I'm kind of interested, because you definitely have, like I mentioned, I'm a big energy person, but this energy to me is super contagious that you're giving off. Who are your role models?
So role models and like athletes, just or
like in general, in life in general, like who are some of your role models that you look up to?
So one of my technology role models, I don't know if anyone's going to know who she is, but iJustine was always my like tech unboxing role model. My athletic role model growing up was Mia Hamm, for her resilience, and just she was in making a movement for herself as well, being so young, playing in for our country. And with role models also with just current presently, I mean, we gotta love Gary V. he's amazing. He always like gets me going every day.
That's funny that you mentioned him. I'm actually a big Gary V fan. Actually, I follow Gary V quite a lot, and actually he got me into flipping sports cards. So I've
amazing
been doing, so I actually, there was on my personal IG, the goal was, I posted a video on YouTube and on my IG, it was like, hey, I'm about to buy a car by using just sports cards. And I got enough money, put down a down payment on like a car that was like $4,000. So I actually ended up making like about $2,500 flipping sports cards within
weeks. Yeah, okay. So
it's super cool that you mentioned him, because he's actually a big inspiration to myself, just because I don't think like growing up, I don't think I had that person like Gary V. Like when I found him, I was like you're saying things I needed to hear, right? You're
right. No, 100%. Like the kids now, they should be very grateful, because like this is stuff that we did not have.
No,
we had to like dig deep for this.
And that's why it's super cool to see that, because it's like he's an older guy too, and for him to say that, be like, no, like you got to chase whatever you love to do. Like you do what you love. You know, don't care about what other people say. And now that you mentioned it, like looking, like thinking back about like your quotes and the content you put, I can definitely see that Gary V influence on some of the things that you're saying.
Because at the end of the day, I don't want to be signing a check of regret. Like that's what makes me so passionate about everything I do. If I know wholeheartedly I did everything that I possibly could, then you're not going to have any regrets. Because what is meant to be yours will be yours to receive.
Yeah. Now, so now you got me like really interested in you is so throughout your day, like daily, like how do you prepare yourself daily, mentally and physically? Like, what do you do every single day?
So mentally and physically, I'm constantly reading. I don't stop. It's just something that I love. Like I'm so passionate about social media as well. And I used Instagram the first day it came out, and I will watch trends and put so much time behind the scenes that people don't necessarily see on the other end. And physically, my love for sports has not left. I train like just how I would when I was playing sports, and I avidly go to the gym and play all the sports that I used to play, and I'm currently learning how to play lacrosse.
So the adjustment, and everybody asked this, but when we started to go, and you know, the pandemic hit, started to go in quarantine, and I imagine like, you know, where I live and places I know, people were locked down. Like people were like, hey, don't go out. There's nobody out there. So how did you spend your time, especially as a photographer? I mean, what were you doing?
Oh, COVID was rough. I'm not going to lie. COVID was rough because I was on like a momentum, and then everything got canceled. And I remember I was in New York City. I was in Times Square, and I remember hearing the NBA season was canceled. And you just know intuitively that that was a severe decision, that this is a lot bigger than we thought it was going to be. And I just cried. I had no care in the world. I just cried because I knew that like everything was just about to be canceled. And with my like Salisbury lacrosse team, we were undefeated. Like we were ring chasing. So that broke my heart. And then I didn't know what the outcome of like what the PLL was going to be like. So I didn't, it was just like so much uncertainty that was just, oh, it was painful. But the priority of it all, and what I stress with mental health, is that you have to be able to fill your cup first before you can fill others. And I just was hardcore healing during COVID because I up to that point, I worked so hard to attain what I was achieving because I decided to take a road less traveled, and it just was gone. But it's okay. It's okay.
I love that. I love that. That quote that you said, like you have to fill yourself up before you can fill other people's cup. Mm-hmm. Alexis, where can people find you? Where can they connect with you on all the social media platforms?
You can connect with me on Instagram. I'm working on finishing my website, and I'm also on Twitter. Both of my handles are Alexis Kuzo.
Thank you to Alexis for an amazing episode. I'm sure that everybody who's listening to this, I'm sure you felt that energy, that vibe. As I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I'm a big energy and vibe person, and it was hard not to be inspired and motivated, not just because I was hearing Alexis' story, but because of the way she told it, the energy you could feel every time she talked about what she's learned along the way. So if you found value in this, all I ask for you to do is, if you're listening to this on the Apple Podcast, please leave us a rating and review. And share it with somebody that you may think may find value as well. At the end of the day, it's our mission to help everybody we can navigate the sports industry. You can visit us at sportsasajob.com. We are the home of the aspiring and current sports industry professionals. And until next time, like I always say, we are all in our own individual journeys, but you are not alone.